So while that's loading up, again, no one would mistake me for being from the Midwest, so I'm glad we got that out of the way. I like to confuse people sometimes in Michigan and tell them I actually grew up in Grand Rapids, and they sort of give me that weird look. So at any rate, my interest was in managed care because I did a lot of work at the Texas Department of Health before going back to graduate school, and so that was sort of the interest here. Again, in thinking about, Texas and birthing outcomes, that Texas has a lot of poor outcomes in birthing outcomes. So some of them don't look so bad when we compare them to national averages. So again, if you look at the infant mortality, it's 6.8 versus 6.3 in Texas. But again, if you start looking among different ethnic groups, it gets really bad. And this is not uncommon. For example, in Michigan, I've also done the same sort of analysis in Michigan. And again, where we have infant mortality rates approaching 20 in places like Flint and Detroit. So it's actually really, really much worse in Michigan. We have, a problem with low birth weight in Texas and teen pregnancy. And again, the percent of mothers receiving adequate prenatal care. If we think about Medicaid managed care, there were three reasons that states have gone to Medicaid managed care. One was controlling cost. The other two were improving access and quality of care. And I think the cost argument has been proven to be valid, but the access and quality of care measures have been more elusive. So that was really what sort of interested me mostly in thinking about how to examine some of these issues. In Texas, which is kind of neat, was that we have some really good controls in Texas about how Texas has applied their Medicaid managed care program. In the big urban areas, they have mostly an HMO model. So in areas like Austin, Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, Dallas, Fort Worth, in the rest of the state, the balance, the really sort of rural areas, they've moved to a primary care case management model. And the difference between those two is the primary care case management model is really sort of an enhanced fee-for-service model. There's no capitation. The HMO model is fully capitated. So we have some really interesting comparison and controls that we want to do later. But again, so everyone in this Travis service area, home to Austin, was in this HMO model. And everyone is required to enroll in an HMO. So again, everyone that was eligible for Medicaid had to sign up for a managed care program. So again, we have these interesting controls here that we don't have in other states like Michigan, where it's voluntary, at least for pregnant women. So the children are required to enroll. Again, here's just a quick map of the Travis service area, and I'll just sort of point out a couple of things. So this is sort of what they call the I-35 corridor, which again is, if you've been to Austin, that this is a heavily urbanized area. These are Hayes and Williamson are home to, Williamson is where Round Rock is, Dell Computers, it's becoming urbanized, very suburban. And then you have these really rural areas, Lee, Bastrop, Caldwell, which I'll show. And again, I thought, here we've had managed care companies that have been focused primarily on serving large urban populations, but not necessarily rural populations. And I think, we'll see some of the outcomes of those. So what were the research questions? Has Medicaid managed care equalized access to services? So how do those demographic factors associated with access and utilization of prenatal care services, we did that by looking at a logistic regression, and then we mapped the outcomes of those. So where do those access and utilization problems occur? So we looked at the birth records between 2000 and 2003. We had about 83,000 live births in the Travis service area. All 50 states, again, are required to collect a lot of this same information on the birth, so about the birthing outcomes, sort of basic demographic questions. So it's really interesting and allows us to do some comparisons. What did we look at? We looked at the Kestner Index. It measures three things in looking at the adequacy of care: the length of gestation of the birth, the timing of the first prenatal care visit, and the total number of prenatal care visits. So, but there's also some problems with it because it measures the quantity of care and not necessarily the quality, and also doesn't measure the relative risk to the patient. For example, a mother could have been really high risk, but we don't know that, and could have probably most likely required many more prenatal care visits than would have been able to measure through this index. So, but again, I think it's a relatively good indicator for access to care. So here were sort of the socio-demographic and access characteristics. So if you'll notice that, I'm sorry this is so small, but I have sort of those we defined as inadequate and those as intermediate or adequate. And you'll see that those with inadequate prenatal care, you know, are much worse. The percentage of those of the population are much higher than those that for intermediate or inadequate. For example, you know, education, 42% had less than a high school degree who were inadequate users, only 25% for those that were intermediate or adequate. This was really sort of what we were most interested in. So, and this is not something that the WHO requires, but something that they're doing in Texas, which I thought was really good. Where was the prenatal care received? At a hospital clinic, a public health clinic, or from a private physician? So, and again, you'll see that those that receive intermediate or adequate care are much more, a greater percentage of those receive their care from a private physician versus those that received inadequate prenatal care. And again, this is important because that was the idea of Medicaid managed care, was to enroll all of these private physicians so that they would actually provide care to these people who were previously relied on getting their services from a public health department, from a clinic. So again, the idea is to enhance that access. So I think, you know, this is sort of an important thing and perhaps a troubling point. So again, our logistic regression, we did a binary logistic regression, again, coded it for adequate and inadequate. Then we developed probabilities for each of these. And then for all of those variables that were significant, we wanted to see how those variables change that probability of someone having inadequate prenatal care. So our initial probability was 44% that a woman would have inadequate prenatal care. So if someone was on Medicaid, right, it raises the probability that they would have inadequate prenatal care to 53%. Someone who had less than a high school degree raises the probability to 59%. Someone who was a teenager, less than 17 years old, raised the probability to 47%. I think, you know, what's most interesting here is we look at ethnicity. The African Americans, again, the literature would tell us that African Americans typically have much worse access to prenatal care. And actually what we found in our model was that African Americans were more likely to have better access, that they lowers the probability of them being a low utilizer of care. So I think, you know, that's a good sign, but the Hispanics, not so good. The prenatal care settings, I think that's kind of interesting too. And obviously, right, I mean, anyone who got prenatal care would lower the probability, but you see how much those lower the probabilities by those getting, even at public health clinics or a private physician, to 5 and 3% respectively. So here are the maps. If you can pay attention to, here's sort of central Austin. I'm sorry, that's probably a little difficult to see, but notice the areas too, these rural areas where we have bad access. We developed a rate for each of these and then mapped them based on the standard deviation of the mean of those rates. So we'll see here too that what's interesting is we have different ethnic groups living in these areas. So if we see mothers as Medicaid, a primary source care, again, just because you're on Medicaid, remember that was actually a pretty good area of access. Here is Medicaid is bad access, and also in Austin and the southern part of the service area. So mothers with less than a high school degree, again, we see these concentrations here and some of these poorer areas. So the percentage of Hispanic mothers, again, East Austin is very heavily Hispanic, and you see some of these here in the eastern part of the county. Again, not so much here in this northwest part or this eastern part. Again, we look at African Americans, the concentrations in the northeast side of Austin, and then this area out here, Dimebox, again, a very rural area. And then we also look at the mothers receiving prenatal care from a private physician. Again, this is probably, too, a testament to the public health department in Austin, which is a really fine public health department, and they do a lot of that, those prenatal care visits. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but again, thinking about the scope and the goals of managed care to increase access to care. So as we're thinking about, has Medicaid managed care improved access? I think good. It's like we saw that there's better utilization for those African-American women. It's a very good thing, something that I think really surprised us. Again, much of the research typically associates African-Americans with poor outcomes and poor access, sort of the bad. Medicaid is still a poor predictor of prenatal care. So where mothers on Medicaid are prevalent, so is low utilization of private physicians. So again, I think, you know, that's something we need to think about, how to link mothers with a physician and have that medical home. Again, important thing. And then obviously, too, in Texas, we have a growing Hispanic population reliant on Medicaid, and a lot of those are exhibiting these poor prenatal care access. In Texas, Medicaid pays for over 50% of all the births today. So again, think about, you know, how important these things really are. Other thoughts, you know, BetterHelp's with programs to target high-risk mothers of poor prenatal care. And again, we didn't really do much. We don't know much about any specific programs that are targeting African-American mothers. But again, I think that's a really interesting finding that we have, and we need to look into that. Of course, we don't have the data to explain all of our variation. We don't know much about physician participation, but we do know that the percentage of physicians participating in the Medicaid program is dropping in this Travis service area. So that is a problem over time. Transportation, also an important issue, as well as motivation on behalf of the clients. You know, do they go out and actually seek these services? And then the data that we had, too, didn't tell us much about the birthing outcomes other than the birth weight. And we haven't really explored that in much more detail. So I'll wrap it up there, and take questions afterwards, I guess, right?
And Steve, we just want to make sure you declare any conflict of interest.
Okay.
The stadium, and just please orally declare it.
So no conflicts of interest.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's one of the housekeeping guidelines assigned to us. So I'd like to remind all presenters to please declare any conflict of interest or the absence of any conflict of interest after your title slide. Our next presenter is Dr. Green Ikhadi. He is an assistant professor at Meharry Medical College in Nashville, Tennessee. He teaches health economics, health finance, health planning, quantitative methods, and he's also the director of the Census Information Center at Meharry Medical College.